This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
안녕하세요, 여러분. Welcome to K-Talk, brought to you by the Dunedin Korean Language and Culture Society.
We are your hosts, Takaria
and Kina.
Join us every second Tuesday evening at 8:30 p.m. on ORFM for an exploration of Korea, from its music and culture to language and politics.
Find all our episodes on oar.org.nz. 이번 에피소드를 즐겨주시길 바랍니다. 안녕하세요, 여러분. Welcome to K-Talk. The song you just heard is Come Over by Dean. And with that, let's get started. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit more about language learning, in particular, some tools that I like to use for it. And we're also going to be talking a little bit about Amazonian language learning. You'll see what I mean soon. So this is a continuation on an episode back from September, where I discussed some of the science behind language learning. To summarize a little bit, I found that there is a difference between language acquisition and language learning. To acquire a language means that is a process that is intuitive. You're unconsciously absorbing the language through lots of input, so lots of listening, lots of reading. Whereas language learning, if you learn a language, that means you're studying it, you're sitting down, you're getting formal instruction, trying to get the grammar rules right, etc. So I'm going to summarize a little bit of what we talked about in that last episode. There's two things I'm going to summarize. One is the input hypothesis, and one is the acquisition learning hypothesis. So the input hypothesis is you need exposure, input, so listening and reading, in order to have language development. So the most important thing to learn a language is getting comprehensible input, and comprehension needs to come before production in the acquisition process. So in other words, you need to first get lots of input and be able to understand before you're able to produce in that language, before you're able to speak or write in the language. That's the input hypothesis. The second idea that I want to summarize is that most of how we learn languages is by implicit learning. So by trying to understand the world around us, listening, right? And then subconsciously, our brain does a lot of that complex, abstract, mental representation stuff for us. But on the other hand, explicit learning, so again, that studying, sitting down, studying grammar rules, that only plays a minor role in how we become able to use another language. So today's episode builds on some of these ideas, and it's split up into two parts. The first part, I'll talk a little bit about what we can learn from the Piraha people in the Amazon. And the second part, I will talk about different tools for language learning that I think help me, at least when I'm studying Korean, to tap into some of these scientific concepts in practice. So how do you actually use tools to be able to acquire language rather than learning it? Okay, so let's get started into the first part. Multilingualism in the Amazon. So there's an area in the Amazon that is extremely linguistically diverse. In particular, there's a place called the Vaupés River Basin, which is not only linguistically diverse, but it has some very interesting cultural communities. They are multilingual by culture. Specifically, they practice what's called exogamy, which means that they don't marry within their same language group. So the mother and father of a family always speaks different first languages. Marrying within a language group is taboo, and to them akin to incest, which I find quite fascinating. But so, of course, in these families, there is a lot of language learning going on. And the interesting thing for us is, how do they learn languages? Because, of course, that'll be a big part of their culture. Now, one element is, they learn a lot through immersion and exposure. So they start learning through input, by listening and interacting with speakers, but mostly taking in. And only after a long time of passively acquiring the language, only then do they start to speak it. And by the time they do, they already are able to understand a lot. They acquire the language in a way that's self-directed. They're not instructed, there's no teacher teaching them. Instead, they acquire the language by observing and participating in natural conversations, things they're actually interested in, and interacting within their community. Now, clearly, it's not always possible for us, if we're learning another language, to get this immersion and all of this input in our community or in interactions in person with people. But
we do have some advantages, like the internet, that mean we can try to recreate some of these conditions. So what I'll do is talk a little bit about some of my favorite language learning, or I should say language acquisition tools, that I think are really useful. The first one I'm going to talk about is link.com. So that's link.com. It's a website, it's also an app. There's a free version of it, but I do use the paid version. To me, that is well worth it because I use it a lot, and you can also use it for lots of different languages. But what I would recommend is trying out the free version to see if it's worth it. The idea is it has lots and lots of input on that website. So lots of reading and listening that you can do on there. You can also import things that you're interested in onto that platform and then read it on there in your target language. The way it works is, as you read, you click on words you don't understand yet and it translates them for you. And then you add the new vocab to a database, and then you can also go through the vocab that you're learning as flashcards or do different games with them to help you learn the vocab. And they have stuff on all sorts of different topics. You can also listen to the audio of it. Sometimes there's actual recorded human audio. Sometimes it's just like text-to-speech. But either way, you can, you know, read a text that you're interested in, download the audio for it, and then listen to it as you go about your day, already kind of understanding what it's about. So that's a really, really useful way to learn. Now, what I particularly like to do is I'll find interesting news articles in Korean, then I import them onto Link, and then I read them there. So for me, that's especially useful because for my studies, I need to be up to date on news. And if I'm reading them in Korean on Link, I can do my language study and my keeping up to date on the news all in one go. I've also been able to find ebooks in Korean and import them onto Link and then read entire books on there. So yeah, this is a really, really useful tool. I think it's probably my primary tool to learn languages with. Okay, next up, Netflix and YouTube. These are great places to find content in the language that you're looking for native speakers. That's really valuable. But it's probably also going to be too difficult to understand at first. Now, one thing that can help to that is this next tool, which is languagereactor.com. This is an extension for Netflix and YouTube. I use the free version. There's also a paid version with some additional features. But I think the free version is already really useful. Basically, you can watch stuff in your target language, and then it shows you subtitles in the target language and in English, or whatever language you understand. The way it works is it'll give you subtitles in the target language, and then in English, but the English ones will be kind of blurred out. So you can try to understand just in your target language, and then if you don't understand something, you can click down and see the English translation. And it'll also give you word-to-word translation. So if you're not sure about a specific word, you can click on that subtitle and it explains it to you. So I'm using it mostly for Netflix, and for that it is really, really useful. And another way to make the most of Netflix is with this next tool, which is a VPN. So a VPN is mostly, it's like something that you can install on your computer, and it helps you to mask your IP address. It's mostly used to help you have more safety on public Wi-Fi, but you can also change the location of your IP address. So that's useful because different streaming services like Netflix, they have different content in different languages. So when you go on Netflix in New Zealand, you don't see the same things as you would see if you go on Netflix in Korea. But so if you have a VPN, you can make the settings so that it looks like you're in Korea. And then you can access all of the content on Netflix that is in Korea. So For instance, I rewatched Avatar The Last Airbender in Korean by switching my VPN location. So you can do that, have your VPN on, change it to Korea, see way more Korean content, even things that are not Korean originally, but they're dubbed in Korean for a Korean audience. And then you can use languagereactor.com, that extension, to understand fully all of the subtitles, etc. So moving on from watching stuff using these tools, there's also a few language learning websites that I think people should know about. Of course, there's lots of different websites for different languages, but for Korean, what I highly recommend is firstly, Talk to Me in Korean and How to Study Korean. Now, both of these have some paid things, but they have so much content that is free, and they are really good at explaining grammar to you, giving you resources to also like stories to read through. Talk to Me in Korean has a lot of stories that you can listen to for different levels, like from beginner to advanced. They have lots and lots of content. Some of that is also you can read it on link. So a lot of these different resources also kind of have a lot of synergy with each other. And I think for me, if I want to understand some kind of grammar, I will often first check with Talk to Me in Korean and How to Study Korean. Now, if you're feeling lost on this language study journey, there is also a resource called Refold. So I recommend you just Google Refold Roadmap, and then it should take you to refold.la. And that has a lot of useful tips and resources on language acquisition. It's all about this kind of language acquisition as opposed to language learning. So all about just getting lots of input rather than studying grammar. So all about how do you immerse yourself, even if you're not in the country. And you can click through their website and get lots of tips and additional resources. There's also some other tools that I haven't really talked about yet, and it's mostly because I don't use them a lot, but that doesn't mean they're bad. So I wanted to mention them as well in case they maybe help some of you. The first one is Duolingo. I think Duolingo is a great way to kickstart learning. It has lots of little lessons and small implements, so it helps you to keep going. And it feels like a game, so that can be fun. And it helps to drill things into you, like the writing system, some basic grammar, word order especially, and a lot of vocab. A lot of the sentences are quite out of context, so that's not really how you would encounter a language in real life. And I don't think that most people could become fluent using only Duolingo. But that doesn't mean you should stop doing it, but I would just recommend also incorporating other tools into your language learning. Another tool is flashcards. Particularly useful for making flashcards like on your phone is an app called Anki. That's A-N-K-I. And there's also things like Memrise, etc., which I don't know as well. Now, with flashcards, that can obviously help you to learn your vocab. And these apps are very good at doing that. Not only can you enter words into these flashcard systems, they will also help you review them by using spaced repetition systems. So, you know, you'll review the words you just added, and then it'll give you older words at a certain time interval so you don't forget them. And, of course, that can be a very efficient way of learning vocab. And I think it's especially useful if you're studying for some kind of test. So I think there's a lot of upsides to flashcards. There is one downside, though. For me personally, I really don't enjoy using flashcards. I noticed myself, I had a very big database of words, and I was starting to dread having to go through my vocab, and it became very boring to me. It made the language learning feel like a chore. So I stopped using them. Also, I did the topic exam early this year, and after that, I don't plan on doing another language exam. I'm really just learning to be fluent, to understand and learn and be able to consume content in Korean, not for an exam or test. So I don't really need to learn a random list of words out of context, even words that might not really be useful to me personally. So I stopped using flashcards, and instead I'm just learning words naturally through context. If they show up a lot in content I consume, that means they're probably useful for what I'm interested in, and I'm going to learn them because I keep seeing them. And if I don't, then they're probably not that useful for me and I forget them, which is not a big deal. Some other tools. There's also Tandem, which I don't really know, and HelloTalk, which I have tried. The idea of these apps is that it connects you to language learners. You start up the app, you say what languages you know, what you speak already, and what language you want to learn. And then it matches you with people that have the opposite. So that can be a really useful way to have exchange with real native speakers. And of course it's free because they also want to learn your language. Personally, I don't use it that much these days because replying to people started to feel kind of like a chore. And also I barely manage to keep up messaging people I actually know. So maybe it's just not for me. But I did actually make some friends through HelloTalk while I was in Korea that I then played video games with. So HelloTalk and apps like it can be very useful for sure. There are also sometimes weird people on there, so just be careful. Now there's also some other resources, things like Rosetta Stone, Babbel, FluentU. And these are all things that I haven't tried and I don't know enough about them to really give any advice on them. With that, I have to wrap up here. I'm going to end on a song called Jesus Lived in a Motel Room by Hyoko, and I hope you enjoy it. 들으셔서 감사합니다.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.